Informing America's farmers and ranchers. It's Adams on Agriculture, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Here's your host, Mike Adams.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Adams on Agriculture, and thank you for joining us. Really appreciate you letting us be part of your day. Much to talk about today. Obviously, the big story continues to be the coronavirus outbreak. Each day, it seems to impact our lives more and more. We're going to be looking at it, of course, from different perspectives. Today, we're going to talk with a senior vice president with the National Rural Health Association. The rural healthcare system is already challenged and strained in many ways. How is it preparing for what may be coming in the next few days or weeks? We don't know as far as dealing with the coronavirus. How is the system prepared? We'll talk about that. Also, there's the issue of labor for agriculture. It's a huge issue, and that could be strained even more by the coronavirus. We're going to be talking about that with the National Pork Producers Council and the National Milk Producers Federation. And there's a full court press being applied by agriculture and the biofuels industry on the administration to not appeal that 10th Circuit Court ruling on small refinery exemptions. We'll talk with the CEO of the National Biodiesel Board a little bit later on about that ongoing issue. So we have lots going on. Let's start it off with Paul Blyberg, Vice President, Government Relations for the National Milk Producers Federation. Paul, thank you for joining us. The ag labor issue, it's a critical issue. It's a concern that's been going on for some time now. There's a chance to address it with some legislation. It passed in the House, legislation being worked on in the Senate. What can you tell us? What's the latest?
Well, thanks, Mike, for having me on. And this definitely continues to be a critical issue for us. And actually, this week we did have our March board meeting here in town, and we also flew in a number of other members. And both yesterday and today, we are on Capitol Hill, on the Senate in particular, urging senators to come together to pass a bipartisan ag labor bill that embodies our two priorities, passing a bill that includes a permanent legal status for our current ag workers and reforming the H-2A program so that dairy can use the program. As we've talked about before, the current guest worker program doesn't allow dairy to be included because we're a year-round sector, and we don't have stability and certainty around our current workforce. So wanting to solve both of those problems has been a major goal for us for a while. As you noted, the House passed a bipartisan measure that included both of those goals. That wasn't totally perfect on the details, but we can keep working on that as we go through the process. And our hope is that the Senate takes a similar approach and moves something forward where we can get something done.
So what is the approach of the Senate? How would it differ perhaps from the House, and how much support is there to get something done in the Senate?
Well, we don't know exactly how anything would differ from the House. I think in terms of differences, it would much be more on the granular details than the broad themes would certainly be our hope. I think our hope would be to have a bill that in broad terms addresses the same major goals that the House bill addressed. We sense that there's a lot of support from senators in both parties, but obviously it is an election year. You noted a minute ago the coronavirus outbreak is obviously consuming a lot of oxygen everywhere, but especially here in the Capitol as members try to figure out what needs to be done on the policy side to deal with that issue. So we know there's a lot going on and a lot of competing pressures, but given the window of opportunity we feel we have with the House acting, we have to keep pushing. And we know there's reception on both sides, and it's just a matter of can things align and get done.
The coronavirus may actually bring even more attention to the ag labor situation. If you have workers sick, unable to go to work, and already a shortage of labor to begin with, that threatens a lot of the supply chain, a lot of areas in our food supply system.
That's right, and I think you've heard others in ag talking about that this week as well, and so perhaps there's a spotlight to be put on that aspect of the issue, and we'll be continuing to push in the next few weeks.
Is there any kind of a timetable in the Senate? As you said, obviously they've got a lot of other things on their plate at this point, but are we close to some legislation?
Well, I don't know that there's a formal timetable. I think our sense is that something would have to get really done before the summer, because you get into the summer and then you really get into political season and the Republican and Democratic national conventions, and you know, obviously we don't know what's going to happen with those as far as coronavirus is concerned, but just the closer you get to the election, the tougher it gets to do anything legislative other than the basic keeping the lights on and things like that. So I think we really do hope that here in the spring there's an opportunity. We don't know exactly what the likelihood of legislation being put forward soon is. I think we hope in the next few weeks for a bipartisan process to continue, but obviously there is a fairly short window there before things become all-consumed with the election. So.
Give us an idea of how this impacts the dairy industry. You mentioned dairy is a little different than, say, fruits and vegetables. Those are seasonal workers. You're talking about year-round employees needed. Tell us how the dairy industry is being impacted right now by this labor shortage.
Sure. Well, we're impacted in a couple of ways. You know, obviously, we have a current workforce, and there's obviously just a lack of stability around that workforce, and current workers are huge parts of not just the farms that they're on, but the communities that they're a part of. And so we think it's very, very important that part of this legislation that Congress passed provide a permanent legal status to keep our current workers here and not have them be in limbo. On the other side, the H-2A program, as you mentioned, we're a year-round sector. We milk cows every single day of the year in dairy. The H-2A program doesn't allow year-round workers to be hired on farms, and so it's imperative for us that we modify that program so that we can use it, because right now we don't have access to any guest worker program in the dairy industry to ensure that we have a future flow of workers to meet what we know is going to be a continued need. So that's why that's so imperative.
Critics of the House bill called it amnesty, and that's, boy, that sets up red flags immediately. Why is what you're working on not amnesty? What's the difference here?
Well, you know, there are requirements in the House bill for folks to follow to get right with the law. And I think when that word gets thrown around, obviously it scares a lot of people, and they say, okay, I can't touch this, it's amnesty. And once that word is out there, it's very difficult to push it aside, even if it's not true. And obviously we work very hard with the House bill sponsors to explain to offices, here's why this bill is not amnesty, here are the things you have to follow, the steps you have to take, and if you get the blue card legal permanent residence, you're not on some kind of expedited special pathway to becoming a citizen, you're just in line with everybody else who has permanent resident status. So we really did try to explain to people that there are provisions in the bill that require one to get right with the law in different respects, rather than this just being a blanket, you know, you get the green card on day one or something like that. But that kind of gets lost in the broader messaging that people use sometimes when they're trying to advocate against moving something forward. And so that word is very potent, unfortunately, in any aspect of the immigration debate, not just the ag one.
Is it an overstatement to say this issue threatens our ability to produce our own food?
It is not, and that's the case not just in dairy, but in other sectors of ag as well. And, you know, we had a good conversation in our board this week with different folks in our membership and folks on Capitol Hill, and, you know, we talk about trade and immigration as being a couple of our top issues, and I think somebody made a great point about market access and all the markets we want to have access to, and it's great to have those opportunities to sell our products, not just here, but worldwide as well, but we can't take advantage of that if we don't have the labor force to produce the product. And so the two really do go hand in hand, and it is really essential that we get this done.
Yep, critical issue. Paul, thank you very much for the update.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Paul Bleiberg, Vice President, Government Relations for the National Milk Producers Federation. The pork industry also weighing in on this labor issue. We'll talk with Jim Monroe with the National Pork Producers Council about that next. Stay with us. You're listening to AOA, Adams on Agriculture.